Good evening. Glad y'all could come out and hear me tonight. I usually get rigged with a mic before I get started and had a lot in my mind, a lot going on, a little case of the nerves, and I didn't rig up my mic. And I'm going to try to stand right here, but I probably can't. Brother Ward opened up this morning. It was good to see Brother Ward back in the pulpit. Good to see Brother Ward back in the saddle. That got me thinking about some things some people have told me over the last couple of years. As I try to invite people to come to church, try to get them to listen to the gospel and obey the gospel. And come hear me preach, an old sinner. And sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't. And it's discouraging. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. That's an old cliche. You know, a lot of times you can't even lead them to water. If you can't get them in the door, then you're not leading the horse to water. Nonetheless, I'm not going to be discouraged. Because when you open up the devil's toolbox, the very top of the toolbox, the very tool that he uses the most is discouragement. I will not be discouraged. I live that life. I will not be discouraged. They asked me to get up here, I will keep on getting up. Thank you for coming to hear me. Story that the lesson I prepared tonight is not a lesson of my own. I was going to tell you it was my lesson. It's not. It's the Lord's lesson. It's a willing vessel. The story of a willing vessel. I'd like to turn to Genesis 6 and read 7 through 14 about a willing vessel. Genesis 6, 7 through 14. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without. Can you imagine a man out here, more or less in the wilderness, building an ark to house two of every creatures on the earth? Can you imagine the ridicule, the laughter, the jokes, the brunt of every joke? Can you imagine? By today's standards, it'd be awesome. He was a willing vessel. He never questioned God. He never took a vacation. He never took time off from work. He built the ark. You know the rest of the story. I want to read from 2 Kings 5, 1 through 15. And I want to put it to you, who's the willing vessel? 2 Kings 5, 1 through 15. This is the story of Naaman being healed of his leprosy. Now Naaman, captain of the host of king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. By today's standards, that's like telling you have terminal cancer, there's no hope, there's no operation, there's no chemotherapy. This is a death sentence. He's not going to get over his leprosy. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told the Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel, and he shall depart. And took with him ten talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his raiment, he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall not know, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go wash in the river Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought. How many times have we prayed? How many times have we prayed for something that we thought we needed or thought we wanted? Behold, I thought God would do this. Behold, I thought God would do that. We don't have the mind of God. God gives us what we need. Behold, I thought. 3 words that really stick out in the scripture. Behold, I thought. He would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away in a rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then would he say to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was come again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know there is a God, there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Which he would not. He would not take nothing. But who was a willing vessel here? Naaman. Naaman was a very reluctant vessel. He won't do what God's bidding was. How many times we find ourselves doing like that? We pray for God for instruction. When God sends us instruction, we turn from it. Naaman's wife? No, she had little to do with it. Elijah, the man of God, the prophet. He had a big hand in it. But let me share this with you. What about the little captive Israelite girl? What about the servant? What about the slave? Back in these days, they made raids. And it calls her here a captive. Okay, she was a slave. She was a captive. More than likely. And it doesn't tell. It doesn't even tell her name. She doesn't even have a name here. But more than likely, she could have seen her father and mother killed. Her village burnt to the ground. Back in those days, they raided whole villages and took what they needed and killed everything else. What was her focus? On the Lord God. The little servant girl. How little of a role she played. But she got the ball rolling downhill. She sent a man to be recovered of leprosy. To do God's bidding. Jonah. Jonah 1:1-10. Here we have an example of a willing vessel. Excuse me. We have an example of a non-willing vessel that God changes into a willing vessel. Read Jonah 1:1-10. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every one unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. But the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If it be that God that will thank us, we will perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose evil this has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray, for this cause this evil has come upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the earth. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, what hast thou done for this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. He ran from God, an unwilling servant. Even the smallest children here know what's happened next. They tried to row back to shore, and they could not. So they had to cast Jonah overboard. A great fish swallowed Jonah, and he stayed in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. That's what we call an attitude adjustment. You got a willing servant out of an unwilling servant. Let's read chapter 3, 1 through 5, and check out this willing servant. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that the great city, and preach unto it, preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city, a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe off him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Nineveh repented of their sin. Why? Because of a willing vessel. A willing vessel. There was an unwilling vessel. We all seem to be vessels of one form or another. Are we a willing vessel? Are we serving God? Are we sharing the gospel? Are we doing God's bidding? I've got good news. We don't have a pop quiz. This morning I asked Larry to sing song number 39. I want to sing that for my invitation song. When I sat down on the front seat, I looked up and Art had picked song number 39 for his invitation song. We could sing the same song twice or one day. Larry said it'd be okay. Is thy heart right with God? Or are you a willing servant? These are the words of King David to his son Solomon. They were the words behind the inspiration for this song. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. That's the same advice I try to give to my son and the folks who will listen to me. But you can't never tell. But discouragement, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to stand for it. The answers seem to be right here in front of us. There's some searching to go on. There's some study. The answers are right here in front of us. They're right here. The answers are right here. Here's some of the questions. When you say it's impossible, God says all things are possible. Luke 18:27. When you say, I'm too tired, God says, I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28-30. When you say, nobody really loves me, God says, I love you. John 3:16. When you say, I can't go on, God says, my grace is sufficient. When you say, I can't forgive myself, when you say, I can't figure out things, God says, I will direct thy footsteps. Proverbs 3:5-6. When you say, I can't do it, God says, you can do all things. Philippians 4:13. When you say, I am not able, God says, I am able. 2 Corinthians 9:8. You can make excuses, but in the end, are you a willing vessel? We're all vessels of some sort. I'd like to offer an invitation that's done every night. It's done every service. But not just an invitation to obey the gospel, an invitation to change your life. You know where I was 10 years ago? I don't know neither. But it was a bad, bad place. Look at me now. You turn your life around. If you want the answers, right here they are. Right here's every answer you ever need. If you need to obey the gospel, there's 5 steps. 5 simple steps. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of sin. He'll add you to his church. You don't join a church. If you brought reproach upon the church, if you've sinned, you'd come forward and ask the church to forgive you. If God forgive you, we'll pray with you. If you have sin on your heart, you can pray yourself. If you feel like you need to come to the front, I'll pray with you. I'll laugh with you. I'll cry with you. But the most important thing is I'll pray with you. And we'll get right with God. That's my sermon. Stand together, stand and say.